Well, we last weekend, a few of us were at Avivamiento in Colombia at their pastors' conference. And I've had the privilege of traveling out there now since 2017 and really got to know the church and the family. This is home for me, but that's my second home. Okay, and if you would ask, the title of the conference was Come Back to the Burning Bush. So from Exodus, where Moses sees the bush burning and sees it isn't consumed and goes over to the bush, and the Lord says, this is holy ground, take off your shoes, and all the encounter Moses has there. Come into the presence of God. And if you were to ask me what my take home was, you know, what's your take home thought of the few days at Avivamiento? It was the hunger of the pastors. So it was a pastors' conference. And often we're telling you, aren't we, be hungry for God. But the beautiful thing was that the pastors who traveled from all over the world, there were a number from Europe this time, we took a gathering with us, were hungry for the presence of God. Because the church is never going to be hungry if the leaders aren't hungry. And one of the things Juliet and I had said before we went is we need the anointing of God in our lives. England needs it. We need what they have over here. And we've seen a portion of that. And one of the beautiful things there is the hunger to receive from God. Okay, and so we had the privilege of having a front row seat. You can't see right to the back of the church. And if you're at the back, all you can see is screens. But because we've been going for a while, they gave us a front row seat. And I've realized the reason we have a front row seat is so we can be first down the front for prayer. Because we want to receive from God. Okay, so it's really hard to explain what happens. Juliet, come here. Come in. So, the way it works in their church is, so we were like sitting, actually we were sitting there, but there's not a spare seat. There's some spare seats. Come here. Okay, so you don't need to sit. We're here, right? And we're sitting and we're listening to the word of God, and as they're preaching, and sometimes the Holy Spirit speaks, and you stand up and go, yeah, amen. You know, and if you did that here, you'd think everyone's going to think I'm crazy. Okay? Respond to the word of God. You know, we're up and down there like a yo-yo. I mean, it's better than going to the gym. Anyway, so we're at the front. And you don't know, the preachers are getting to a bit of a crescendo and you think, they're coming to an end. Okay, so the youth are all at the front, stopping people responding. Okay, so they're all linking their arms. And hundreds and hundreds of people. The front of their church is bigger than this building. Okay, just for prayer. Okay, I think their stage is bigger than this building, actually. But we've been running forward to get prayer. Okay, and one goes, they start to run forward. So we're going like this, we're running in front of the church. And he tells us off. He says, I haven't finished yet. I'm only halfway through my talk. And there's like hundreds of people forward already. So we have to, she wants a microphone. There you go. Is there another mic? So we have to go back. It's almost like back in disgrace. We weren't in disgrace because their hunger is really, they really like.
I just wanted to say, I told Steve that even though we went up at the wrong time, we're claiming that we get a fresh anointing because of faith.
Yes.
We were there
That's
first.
Right.
Yes.
But this whole hunger for God, for his presence. So I think we went forward for every time, didn't we?
I think about 10 times we definitely got squashed out the front. We were like this.
But they assigned some of the youth to us. So we had two teenagers that were assigned to us. And their job was when we ran forward, there's hundreds if not thousands coming forwards. So we didn't get crushed. Okay, because as the Holy Spirit blows through the room and they're going boom, 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 boom. If you're, you cannot breathe up there. There's so many people. You get crushed. And their job was to hold people up so that we didn't get lost in amongst all the bodies. And Juliet's a bit like a lightning. She's like this, like this. She's like this. And I'm like this, this. And they're like this, this, this. That's right. You know, lightning conductors attract lightning. That's the whole job. She's one of those. And I'm trying to pick her up. The hunger in the room for Jesus.
Yes.
To be filled with His Spirit. Because without the Spirit, we can't do anything. And so we've been in that kind of environment, all right? So get ready. So if you don't know Jesus this morning, you need to run forward, all right? Because, look, if you read the scriptures, if it's sometimes difficult. What does God want? He wants hunger. The mark of the heroes of the faith was they were hungry for Jesus. They realized they can do nothing except by Him. And if He would fill them, and if He would fill us with His Spirit, we can do anything. All things are possible. And it's this filling of the Spirit that we need. Anyway, you can go now. Yeah, unless you got something else to say, which is quite... So, where was I? Let me read you some Bible. Look, as I've grown up, many times... wise scholars have told me the Bible doesn't talk about revival. It's rubbish. It does talk about revival. Find Ezra. Find the book of Ezra. It's a book you will well know, I'm sure. The book of Ezra is after the exile. Ezra oversees the rebuilding of the temple, and Nehemiah oversees the rebuilding of the walls. The walls are rebuilt very quickly in, I want to say, 52 days. But the temple takes a lot longer. There are a number of hiccups, which is why you get a number of the prophetic, the minor prophets prophesying. Okay, so let's stand. We're going to read the word of the Lord. So this is Ezra chapter 9 from verse 8. And now, for a little while, grace has been shown from the Lord our God to leave us a remnant to escape and to give us a peg in His holy place, that our God may enlighten our eyes and give us a measure of revival in our bondage. For we were slaves, yet our God did not forsake us in our bondage, but He extended mercy to us in the sight of the kings of Persia to revive us, to repair the house of our God, to rebuild its ruins, and to give us a wall in Judah and Jerusalem. Amen. Take a seat. I'm going to move really quick. Firstly, God always works for a remnant, a small group of people who He calls. Those people are grace people. It is not that they're any better. It's not that they've worked harder. It's not that somehow they're superior. But God, in His mercy, always saves a remnant of people who love Him. Who hunger after Him, who want His presence. That's why when Jesus comes, He says, "Fear not, little flock. It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Amen. And He would say the same to us. So I find it helpful to know from the Lord, what season are we in as a church? Just before COVID, the Lord spoke to us about the 10 virgins, the wise, the 5 wise and the 5 foolish. And that we're in a season of the bridegroom is coming, and the messengers are going up. Wake up, wake up. Jesus is coming. Okay, and we find ourselves here now where We are seeing a measure of revival in our lives, but it is a measure. Okay, we haven't got it all. And so what Ezra, so these verses, I really felt the Lord speak to me about before we went. So we went to Aviva Manta to go after the fuego, the fire of the Spirit. So he says, we are a remnant, and he says there is that he has pegged us in his holy place. When we come to faith, when we come to Jesus, we give our lives to Jesus, we are cleansed of our sin. It's just as if I'd never sinned. And he says, it's like I put a peg in the ground and I'm tying you to my holy place. And that's what happens when we give our lives to Jesus. It doesn't matter what state we're in. It doesn't matter what's going on in our lives. When we come to Jesus and give him our life, and we die to our old life and we're alive to his new life, and we're it's like we're tied in this place. And a whole idea of the tent peg is that it holds the tent on the ground. So if the storm comes, it doesn't blow away. And so many of you have given your lives to Jesus, and he's like put a tent peg in. And you know what it's like if you've ever been, I'm not a great camper, so I'm speaking from ignorance. But you're trying to get a tent peg in the ground, and the ground is hard. You know, you're banging it in, it bends, it does. Anyway, he's put this tent peg in. So when the storm comes, we're firmly rooted in the ground. And the thing is with, when you have a tent peg and a guy rope, there's two things you can do. You see, you give your life to Jesus, you now have a relationship with God. You can either run closer to God and learn more about him, or what tended to happen with the Israelites, you remember when they came out of Egypt, they're only out like a number of days and they're moaning, we haven't got any food, we haven't got any water, it was better in Egypt. Moses, why have you brought us out to die in the desert? You see, they preferred captivity. And so sometimes what happens is we come, and Jesus tells the parable of the sower to explain this. We come to Jesus and we receive forgiveness of sins, but there's two directions we can go. We can run further into all that God has for us, or we can go, oh, actually, do you know what? This is a bit harder than I thought it was. I think I liked it better there, because captivity sometimes is easier than freedom. Because in captivity, you don't have any choice. You just do what you do, and you're stuck there, and it's easier. Whereas in freedom, you have a choice to follow God. You have a choice to run after him. In captivity, you can't, because you're bound and you're stuck. And so this the reason this peg is in, it's so we can hold ourselves in the presence of God. There is a foundation that's there, but with the purpose of going deeper to God. He says, enlighten our eyes. You see, again, once when we come to faith, when God moves in our life, the lights come on. Okay, suddenly we realize, you see, before I was a Christian, I didn't realize I was a sinner. That's why sometimes it's kind of, if you are out in the streets saying, you're a sinner. They don't even know what a sinner is, because they don't know God. It's only, do you remember Isaiah, when he came to the presence of God, he went, oh my goodness, I'm a man of unclean lips and I live amongst the people of unclean lips. I didn't know I was a sinner. It wasn't until I came into the presence of Jesus I realized I was a sinner in the light of his holiness. Okay, so suddenly we see. So our eyes are enlightened, and so we're now in the process of walking in his ways. So we need to learn his ways. Now that's hard work, because it means we have to engage our whole bodies. Coming to faith just engages our heart, but actually learning his ways, we have to engage head, we have to engage effort, we have to engage our heart, we have to use physical energy to actually do the work. What do I mean? Well, the things that I really think have been transformational here in the lives of the people, and part of what God has been doing, one of them would be School of Transformation. Just going through the scriptures. and getting a picture of the overview of the scripture. Many Christians have never read the Bible. How many of you done School of Transformation? Bring your hands up. You're going to have a busy one in September, Tim. Get on it. Sign up when the next one runs. I promise you it will change your life. If it doesn't change your life, you can have your money back. Tim will pay it. if you're a new Christian, go to New Life, because you need to learn how to live your new life. It's one thing giving your life, it's another thing learning to live your new life. Once you've been to New Life, go to Next Steps. Why? Because now you're living a new life, but there are steps in order for you to stay in your new life. If you've been a Christian for donkey's years, I don't know why, maybe donkeys live for a long while, I don't know why it's called that, but pray. You know, we talked about coming to the prayer meeting. Pray. Come into the presence of God. That God is stirring a hunger in his people. Okay, we need to move. Because he has given a measure of revival to Chroma. We have seen him move. He has stirred us up. But it's only a measure. There is more. There is a lot more. Trust me. This ain't it. You know, being happy in worship is not it. It's the start of it. Okay? But he wants to give more. And so we're going into a new season, but that season requires us to focus on him and be hungry for him and not satisfied with what we've got. It's not that we're ungrateful, but we know there is more. So he says four things. He says he revives us. He awakens us to life. That's what he's doing to us now. Number two, to repair the house of God. The church is not what it's supposed to be. I'm talking about the whole church and I'm talking about this church. This is still not what it's meant to be. There is some, you know, Sunday morning we were in the service, thousands couldn't get in to the service. So they had overflow. I think they had a few thousand in the overflow, and they would have had people on the streets and not being able to get seated. And the Spirit of God blew through and the sick were getting healed. The stage was absolutely stacked with people that got healed. They took an hour getting testimonies of all the healings, and that was just a handful of the people God had moved amongst. This ain't it. But it's a start. We're on a journey. They've been doing this for 33 years in the presence of God, and it has grown, and it has grown, and it has grown. The church is not what it's supposed to be. There should be healing and salvation in the church. A church is not a church if the sick are not healed and the lost are not saved. The New Testament is clear about that. That is why we're here. It is the mission of the church. It's a place where God dwells. You see, the church is a place where people can come and find God. It's the most beautiful thing. You know, you just see people's backs, but I could just see people encountering with the Lord. And that's why I don't want to rush, and I know we're running late, and, you know, we... They had 4 to 5 hour meetings when we were out there. And I thought I could endure. And I'm going, wow, this is a long while. But we were in the presence of the Lord. And so it's giving time. And that's why when God is here and he's ministering to people, that's the whole reason we came. You know, I like to think there's, I might say something useful to you, but he is way more useful to you. His presence in your life is way more important than anything I can say. If you will receive him in, everything will change. To rebuild its ruins. And you know, when you've got ruins, you have to rebuild and clear all the rubbish out. And so there is a real sense of the hard work of clearing the rubbish out so the new can come. And I really think God is about to do something stunning with our young with our children and our young. Okay, I really, and I know some of you are picking up your kids, that's fine, and because they're part of this. God is, one of the things I love about being out there is all the productions and the choir and the youth, you know, holding the people back, carrying the sick forward. There is a real sense of they are part of the story. And because I've been going out a number of years, I'm watching the young grow up as remarkable young people and adults. I'm watching the power of God in their lives. Often we're like, if we get educated, we'll do well in life. You know, if we can just get a good education. Actually, what I would say to you is if you could just learn the ways of God, you will gain the wisdom of God and you'll do very well in life. Because the education and the ways of man are pointless. What we want is to get his wisdom in our life so we can live for him. And these young people are growing up with the most wonderful, you know, the best testimony you can ever have. There was never a time, I can never remember a time when I didn't know Jesus. It's not Jesus saved me from being a murderer or Jesus saved me from drugs and drink. That's wonderful if he does that, and he will do that this morning. But the best thing is when you can stand up and go, and I love it when they do a baptism. There's never a time when I haven't known Jesus, but this is a point where I know I need to give my life to him and devote it completely to him because I'm making a decision for myself. That's what I want for our children. That's what I want for our teenagers. I want them to grow up never knowing a time where they don't know Jesus, but I also want them to grow up and thriving in Jesus. And the thing I love is the release of the arts. I love the music that's happening here. I love the dance. I love the drama. I love the filming. I love the story that's starting to get told. Even the social media that we put out. You know, Jesus redeems everything. All good things come from heaven. Social media is not bad. It's just being used badly. But we're going to redeem it for Jesus. And I love it when these guys are getting that. Even I get hits. You know? Somebody said, oh, do you know what? That thing you said got 10,000 views. I'm going, do people not go out? But the world is hungry for the word of God. The world is hungry for his presence. And our young understand this media age, and they're taking the message out for us. And the world is starting to hear. So we are rebuilding. And then he says, there is a wall of protection. You see, where the presence of God is, and theologians disagree whether the wall was built first or the temple was built first. Personally, I think the wall was built, which enabled them to build the temple, Nehemiah, and then Ezra. But this wall of protection where the presence of God is. So it is a place of safety. The church is a place of safety for you. The church is a place of prosperity for you. It doesn't matter how dark it is out there, God wants to prosper his people. He wants to bring blessing to you so that people will look on and go, their God is with them. We're not meant to be, woe is me. We're meant to be under the blessing of the Lord. And so that people will see that the gospel is good news to the poor. And it's a place of glory. The church is a place of glory because it's a place where God dwells. That's what revival looks like. You see, the more it goes on, one of the tragedies of many revivals is they finish too quick. They're not meant to finish, they're meant to stay. And they're meant to develop and mature. So the Brazilians and the Chileans talk about the Colombian revival as a young revival. It's only 30 years old. They've been going 100 years. So they talk about they are a mature revival and this is a young revival. The Welsh revival lasted about 18 months to 2 years. It never really took hold. Now, it did in the sense you see Azusa Street and we see the spread of the world, but didn't affect this country. It's time. It's time. It's time for England. It's time for Wales, because they're in the front row. It's time for Scotland. It's time for Northern Ireland. And I know I'm almost done, and I know the time's going on. I know we've got an election happening this week. Anyone heard about that? They don't have the answers. We do. The answer for England is not a new prime minister. It's not sorting our economy out. If you actually look at the world is in disarray. You know, we've got... I'm on live stream, aren't I? I nearly said geriatrics leading the United States. Did I say that out loud? But I'm serious. The world is in trouble. Where are the leaders? Where are the godly people that will lead the world, that are going to usher in the second coming of Jesus Christ? That he is coming back. He's coming back for a bride, for a church. And it's our time. It's our time now. Now, yes, I want you to pray for the election. Yes, I want you to cast your vote. But it's a change of prime minister is not going to sort us out. It's a change of heart. It's a welcoming of the King of Kings. We need a king. We don't need a prime minister. We need a king, and it's King Jesus, and it's time for him to move in our midst. And I tell you, it's happening. And we've seen a measure of it, but there's more. And what I'm saying to you is, in this season where we are right now, will you press into more of God, not less of God? Where he's pinned us in the ground, the temptation, well, it's all nice now, we're going to heaven, we're going to be all right. What about the people that aren't? What about the hundreds and millions of people that are not going to go to heaven? What about them? We need to tell them. They need to be welcomed in. And the wind is starting to blow. And whatever happens this week in the election, it is setting the ground for what Jesus wants to do. Because whoever is in power is appointed by God, my Bible says. So he's going to put whoever it is in, and he is laying the foundation for a move of the Spirit in England that's going to spread all over the United Kingdom. And my word to you, Cromer Church, is will we be hungry? Are you ready for what God has? Will you get up early and seek him? Will you go to bed late and seek him? Will you respond, you know, like Julia, I'm running and getting told off, get back to your seat, I haven't finished preaching yet. I long for the day when that's happening here. I long for the day when people get saved every week, we're there. I long for the day when people will get healed, we're there. Now I long for the day where people will be so hungry for the presence of God, that our youth will not be allowed to go out to their room. They'll be policing you so you can't respond until we finish preaching. And I tell you, when that happens, what a witness to the youth. When their parents can't wait to respond, what effect do you think that will have on the teenagers as they grow up in this church? Do you think that might set them an example? Something to go for? Why don't you stand up? I'm done.